Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sterling Bennett and Dan Avone on New Year's Eve. Big plans out there in the California-Nevada border for you there, Sterling, tonight?
No, we got the family over, going to have a nice quiet night. Might play some Uno, might get the board games out and have a nice quiet family day. Got the dog out, the wife, he's out there making some nice little treats for us. But I will say this, as I inch towards the age of 30, I can't watch the ball drop anymore. I am like in bed by 9 o'clock nowadays. Jeez. I just can't do it, Dan.
Oh, come on, man. You don't need to be in bed by 9. You're scaring me, all right? Save that for the old farts.
2025, I know it'll be there 8 o'clock in the morning when I have to get up. It'll be there no matter what.
What's the name of your town again?
Hesperia.
I refuse to call it a city. That post.
I don't think it is either. It's like a shack in a corner store. It's all it really is.
Hesperia, California. Now, say a guy like me is in Hesperia, California. Nah, I like to have a cold one every now and then. And if I want to go and wet my beak, is there a Kelsey's down the block, or where am I going to get a beverage?
I would not frequent this place, but there is a tavern called the Whiskey Barrel. I've only been there once, but you have the TVs up, you can get a drink there too. But I would actually go to Pancho Villa's, a nice Hispanic restaurant down the corner. Much better. The atmosphere is great and the food is fantastic.
All right. Well, as long as I know that there's alcohol nearby, all right. You're fine. Maybe I can do a year.
There is a 7-Eleven down the street. You can bring it back to the house if you have to.
All right, we were talking about Sam Darnold, and I want to open this up. 888-957-9570. Go hit me on the text line. To me, it's a no-brainer, and I'm curious, and I'm swayable. If there's somebody that can provide a convincing argument as to why you don't want Sam Darnold. Now, look at it again. We're just looking at this through the perfect case scenario where Minnesota, for some reason, wants to get off of Sam Darnold. And there's legitimate reasons. If you want to invest in J.J. McCarthy, he's on that rookie deal. And if you believe that Kevin O'Connell is indeed that guy, then it's basically J.J. McCarthy and Kevin O'Connell. And Kevin O'Connell can, if it's Kevin O'Connell we trust, then Kevin O'Connell can turn him into this year's Sam Darnold. And if there's that sort of faith in the guy, and they like what they saw with J.J. McCarthy prior to the injury, and he was supposed to battle it out with Sam Darnold, though I think Darnold was going to get the nod to start the season. But let's just say that they don't franchise tag him because it's too big of a salary cap hit, and he's out there. Why would the 49ers not sign Sam Darnold and sign Brock Purdy?
Well, what message does that send to your team?
We want to win.
Like, I mean, but you've won with Brock Purdy. You went to a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy where it wasn't, oh, he's being carried like Jimmy Garoppolo. He is one of the main reasons as to why you're going to a Super Bowl. Now, I get this year has been difficult for a variety of reasons. Some of those being Brock Purdy. Last night's two picks was right to a defender. And you're like, what the heck? We crushed him after that loss against the Cardinals early in the year. It's 23-24. All you need is one drive. Go get me a somewhat makeable field goal by Jake Moody and win this football game. Go against the Dolphins last week. And can you get me one drive? And boom, interception, game over. There's many reasons to push back on Brock as the answer in San Francisco, and I'm all ears for those. I'm not completely sold on him being a record-breaking quarterback, but I think there is a precedent set that this guy has had 2 years of excellent play. He saved your season 1 year, and last year took you to a place you hadn't been for the last 3 or 4 years before that, and had you closer than the other guy did in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't want this year to be a referendum on how great Purdy was last year. Like, Brock and Kyle Shanahan were in sync all year long. Does one bad year make you sway that hard the other way to say, nope, not the answer, not the guy anymore?
I think he's a good quarterback. And let's, anybody wants to entertain otherwise, we're not doing that. That's just being silly. And he's a good guy, which I think goes a long way. I think you want your leaders to be Steph Curry-esque, although there's Steph Curry's one of one, but keeping your nose clean and being the leader of a team and, you know, personifying that image outside of the football and during, off the field and during the offseason, that goes a long way, man. He's the perfect guy. But let's face it, the NFL is about one thing. It's about winning games. And that's how you get re-upped as a coach. That's how you provide security. And you know the acronym, what the NFL stands for. It's not for long, league. And so if guys like now don't understand that, that have been in the league for a while, that you're as good oftentimes, not only as your last season, but in some instances as good as your last game, well, you're living, you get your head in the clouds, because we're always looking to improve and we're always looking to win. And while the loyalty may not always be there, you have to understand that this is, at the end of the day, a business. Sure. And everybody understands when they sign up what it is that they've just inked their name to. And that is a business where winning is the bottom line. And if you lose a half step, well, suddenly you're going to be tradable regardless of all the fanfare. And as much as we've adorned your play and your behavior throughout the years. So Sam Darnold, to me, pound for pound, is a better quarterback. And if I can get him at a cheaper price, then all those other arguments in terms of loyalty, what he did last year, what he's done since being drafted as Mr. Irrelevant, they carry no weight. And I know it sounds harsh, but it's a harsh reality that this is the National Football League. I'll love you and I'll be friends. You want to stay, you want to stay buddies? Let's do that. But I have to think about what's best for the football team going forward. And I also have to be fiscally responsible. And with both things being equal, I have to lean towards Sam Darnold, and loyalty be damned.
So you're saying even if both quarterbacks commanded $40 million a year, you're picking Darnold over Brock Purdy?
I would.
And that's based on this season of play alone.
It is. Well, of course. I'm not basing it on what happened in New York.
Right. But I mean, like we have a longer track record of success with Brock Purdy in just 2 years than we ever had with Sam Darnold. Darnold has one really, really phenomenal season with the Vikings, which has been great. But I guarantee you this, if Brock Purdy, say he didn't have Christian McCaffrey still, but he had Brandon Ayuk at full capacity, I'd guarantee that wouldn't be your opinion. Because we saw last year Brock with Brandon Ayuk fully healthy, no contract disputes, was a whole different quarterback. Whereas Sam Darnold has Justin Jefferson, who's been out there almost every single game, and they have been a 1-2 punch of, oh my goodness, look at that throw, look at this throw, look at that throw. And it's no knock on Darnold at all. He's making the throws. He's doing great stuff. But I do think it's a little unfair to grade Darnold maybe with some rose-tinted glasses, knowing that Brock hasn't had his number one receiver all year long.
Fair enough. But Sam Darnold has a stronger arm. I don't care who the wide 100%. Receiver is. I don't care who the wide. And that means something in this league. There were plays last night where Jared Goff has a stronger arm than that of Brock Purdy. And you can see the zip on his ball. Like, he throws a fastball. And he would get it to guys in a seam. Meanwhile, there was one play in particular where Jennings made a reception for about 11 yards in a first down, and he got crushed. He got the safety came up, and I forget the name, that just came up and laid the wood. And ideally, what you want to do if you're Jennings, because you know, you hear those footsteps, is make that catch and duck for cover. Sure. And if somebody gets it to you, like whap, right now, I can get down. But he had to wait that extra second, that extra half second. And it's the difference between a collision and no collision. And I've seen Purdy throw an out pattern where he just simply, the ball's leaking oil. And this is not a knock on again, Brock Purdy in terms of him being able to go through progressions. But at the end of the day, it's very fundamental. that I think Sam Darnold can go through the exact same progressions just as quickly, but guess what? He's 3 inches taller, his hand's twice the size, and he can throw the fastball. Do you remember, and I always go back to this, anytime we talk about Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, and the 49ers, in that game when the Niners lost to Minnesota early on in the season, and that throw he made backed up in his own end zone, and he hit Justin Jefferson in stride. I want everybody, I remind everybody every time I do this, just to go look at the YouTube tape. I've never seen anything that effortless. It's almost as if he flicked his wrist, and it was so casual, and that thing went 70 yards in the air, and he hit Justin Jefferson in stride. Brock Purdy can't do that. Very few can. There is something to arm strength, as well as being smart, as well as being able to do all the things that Purdy can do. Also, Purdy is what, fourth in the league in terms of balls getting batted down at the line of scrimmage? That's not happening with Sam Darnold. Darnold's looking over those defensive linemen. He's looking over linebackers. He can see the field. It's a harsh, this is not a reflection on Brock Purdy being a bad guy or an insufficient quarterback, but when you stack him up, again, if the bottom line as a general manager, as a football team, is that we have to do what's best for our team in terms of winning and getting back to a Super Bowl, and you just put those two side by side, I want Sam Darnold, because of his raw ability, is better than that of one Brock Purdy.
But do we ignore his previous stints with the Jets and the Panthers?
Yes. Yeah, and here's why. Because I think a lot of people are still waiting for, and you don't have to, but this is my opinion, a lot of people are still waiting for that other shoe to drop. Or he's going to be Brock Purdy, or excuse me, he's going to be Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. It ain't happening, people. What happened in San Francisco, in terms of the light going on, and he just needed to be with the right person, and that being Kyle Shanahan, or the right quarterback whisperer who understood how to teach somebody with his talent, this is real. Starting with Kyle Shanahan and now Kevin O'Connell, that he's not going back there. And if you think that he's going to revert back to that guy and just wait, it's going to happen any day now, it's going to happen in the playoffs, people have been waiting all season. I've seen enough body of his work to come to the conclusion that dude does not live here anymore. Sam Darnold is the real deal. I could be, you know, I've been wrong before.
If that's the case, and we can both admit that Kyle Shanahan would know football better than any of us, like head and shoulders ahead of all of us, he had him in the building. If he believed that Darnold was better than Brock Purdy, why didn't he do what it took to retain him and say, look, quarterback competition, you know, Brock's great and all, but he has the tools that I like better. He's more efficient, better arm strength, a little taller. Like, he had him in the building and let him go. Now, Darnold wanted to go start elsewhere, fine. I totally get that. But it's not like Kyle didn't have the opportunity to make the quarterback change during last offseason. Say, oh, Brock, you're great and all, but we're going with Sam Darnold. And we're going to re-sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal, the exact same deal he has now. I think it's like $11 million for 1 year. Like, he could have done it. And he said, no, I want to roll with Brock Purdy. Why should I believe they're going to do that this offseason?
Fair enough. I would say that Kyle Shanahan didn't get an opportunity to see him play. I think Kyle Shanahan
did, though.
Well,
every single day.
No, I mean, in practice, he wasn't very good. I think he's Carter Chickering. I mean, well, no, he wasn't, and he wasn't. But so if you're just predicating on practice where, you know, Sam, because in order to really pass judgment on a quarterback, because you got to give him an opportunity, right? You got to let him play. And you got to let him play.
Kyle Shanahan was willing to, like, Kyle Shanahan fell in love with Brock Purdy and was like, that's the guy, he's better than Trey, he's better than Jimmy, which maybe isn't a big statement to make, but he said that in practice. He saw that in practice. Why didn't he see the same thing about Sam Darnold in practice?
Yeah, but when did he replace Jimmy Garoppolo?
After he got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So the same could be said back then. If he was so much better than Jimmy Garoppolo, why didn't he make the switch before Jimmy got hurt? My point being
because
is that, well, the same with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, you know, Well, I guess he was making more than that. Was he making more than Purdy last year? He probably was.
Yeah, he was.
But I think that, yeah, what you say is true, but you do need to see a body of work. And while you may believe in a guy, but this is when what it is that Purdy did the year prior, where he has stuff on tape, and then Sam Darnold is just a guy that's done it in practice, or at least, well, he wasn't even very good in practice. But knowing that the potential is there, you can't make that replacement exclusively on conjecture or potential or what he did in practice because Brock Purdy was so good. But now that we've seen a full year of it and a guy that's led a team 14-2 and has made all the throws, and not only that, but situational football, bringing his team back, two-minute drills. I mean, he went through a little snafu where everybody thought, like in week five after they got off, yeah, they were 5-0. Yeah, right? It's like, here it comes. They just lost two in a row. Here comes Sam Darnold. And then he just showed that he had the mental fortitude to straighten that thing out. And once again, sitting here at 14-2, and probably the most forgettable 14-2 we've seen in a long time. I think it's just a matter of getting an opportunity to play football, which he didn't in San Francisco because Brock Purdy was already entrenched at that number one spot.
So let's say, okay, the Vikings go to the playoffs. They're the fifth seed, number one seed, doesn't matter what they are. They go to the playoffs, and in the first round, second round, he just lays an egg, looks terrible, throws a couple picks, looks like he was seeing ghosts out there. Does that change at all?
No, it's a good point because I think I preface this by saying the job isn't done. There's still a lot of football that's left to be played. I think to me that I've seen enough. Again, I don't think that Kevin O'Connell and I don't think Kyle Shanahan think he's going to go back to being the guy he was in New York or the guy he was prior to coming to the San Francisco 49ers. I think that's been eradicated. I think those demons have left Sam Darnold. So as bad as he might play, and people play poorly, I mean, look at Lamar Jackson, right? People play poorly in the postseason, right? In the postseason, some guys will lay an egg. To me, that's not enough. If he's available, especially at a cheaper rate, for me to go get him and replace Brock Purdy. All right, 888-95, you as well.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. I mean, I've been listening to this whole back and forth regarding Brock and Sam Darnold, and now I'm swaying from what I'm hearing with you guys is like I'm swaying towards Darnold now. And my thing is with Brock was last year. I know you just mentioned having Brandon and everything, but you also had the offensive player of the year on the field who was healthy all year too. So that's gonna add into it too. And I guess my question is, we see how this all plays out with Darnold in the offseason. What's the number it would take to get him? And do you just use it for leverage to lower Brock's asking price? And if the 49ers truly would want Sam Darnold, what do you do with Brock?
Well, he's under contract for next year, so he'd sit behind Darnold or whatever they choose to do. I would assume if they did sign Darnold for whatever that price may be, and
you're
obviously
trading.
Me and Dan can go back and forth, it would be a Darnold and Purdy quarterback competition next year in training camp, which then the media is out there and everyone's talking about it once again. But Purdy's under contract. I maybe, Dan, maybe we can talk about trading Brock Purdy, but even that seems a little absurd to me.
Well, I see, I get it. The absurd thing is, when you entertain Sam Darnold, and when you were to think about this at the beginning of the season, it seems ridiculous. It seems semi-absurd. But I think people have to, see what's in front of you right now. And a lot of people are, for whatever reason, in denial of Sam Darnold and what it is that he's been able to do. It's a 14-2 football team due in large part to Sam freaking Darnold.
Sure.
And Sam Darnold likes Kyle Shanahan. And I don't know this as a fact, but if Sam Darnold is let go by that of the Minnesota Vikings, I'm willing to bet he wants to play once again for Kyle Shanahan, who resurrected his career. And if that's the case, and Kyle Shanahan's aware of Sam Darnold, it's the reason why he coveted the guy even before last year. Keep in mind that when they were in that flux with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, he was kicking the tires on Sam Darnold back then, if you recall.
Yeah.
So if the history is there, this is a real possibility that people really have to sort of get their arms around. Let's continue the conversation with Rom hanging out in San Jose. Big Rom, what's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just moved to the Bay Area from a different part of the country, but I hear this conversation going back and forth, right? So, to be fair, I think Shanahan is a great offensive mind. But then in terms of just recognizing the quarterbacks, right, what he did with Garoppolo, so I'm from the Boston area. So Garoppolo couldn't play through injury, and he was injury prone. Right? Then he came in and gave up all this draft capital for Trey Lance, and I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. So the point being, if he didn't walk in as backwards into Brock in that draft, would he still have a job really? Because he blew so many first round picks on that, and he let Sam Darnold go. So I'm not quite sure why nobody's questioning Shanahan's ability to see the quarterback in a draft or just recognize the qualities. Right? He's a great play caller, but really, where would he be without if Brock Purdy couldn't play?
Because he's a lucky SOB, that's why. And, you know, to that point, Sterling, in all seriousness, if I'm one of the minions for Brock Purdy, if I'm one of his agents, I would blow in Kyle's ear and say, man, you owe us a solid. Because what Ron just said is true. Like, that was the narrative. I mean, that was sort of, at the time, I remember a lot of people were saying that Kyle Shanahan is putting his entire career, as is John Lynch, on this draft pick. They're moving up to go get Trey Lance. Trey Lance was a bust. Trey Lance wasn't even, I mean, he was Jamarcus Russell-esque. It wasn't like Daniel Jones where he had, well, it's not like he had six.
At least Trey was watching the tape they gave him at home. Like, he was actually doing his homework. He just couldn't do it on the football.
But I mean, there were fundamental issues right from jump street. Yeah. Like, this guy had a hitch.
Throwing motion.
Yeah, he had like, he wasn't accurate with the football. I mean, it was about as big of a mistake that you can make. And as far as giving up all that draft capital, it could have been career defining. But along comes Brock Purdy, and suddenly we forget all about that. Now, if I'm Brock Purdy, I might just happen to blow in his ear and say, man, don't you owe me a little something-something? Not only have I played for free the last couple of years and taken you to Super Bowls as well as NFC Championships, but let's not forget what it is that I did in terms of making people forget what it is that you did as far as compromising the future, mortgaging the future, and draft picks, and going and getting one Trey Lance. That's...
Well, think of it this way. Well, yes, Brock can feel like you owe me something, but from a Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch perspective, what other NFL regime has been allowed to have three different franchise quarterbacks and survive? None. It is, you get one shot to get your guy, maybe two if you're lucky. The Niners, if they sign Brock Purdy to a massive deal, or in Dan's case, go get Sam Darnold, that's their third shot at a franchise quarterback. Like, this is it. This is the end. You get three strikes and you're out. You missed on with Jimmy was fine, but, you know, didn't get the job done. Trey was a massive strikeout. And in Brock Purdy's case, or again in Sam Darnold's case, you get a third try and you strike out. They have to go. You have to go.
Well, it'll be interesting. So somebody's saying Sam didn't look good in the Cardinal game when Purdy went out for a drive. I'm not following that. Does that make sense to you? Anyway.
I mean, Sam played against the Rams last year and they lost by 1 point thanks to
Jake. Oh, Sam last year. I get you. I thought he was talking about Sam Darnold against the Cardinals this year. Well, you know, basically, you know why the Minnesota Vikings took a roller on him? And it's one of the reasons why Carson Wentz and the Kansas City Chiefs coming up on Sunday are going to be balling out is because, you know, you want to put something on tape if you're Carson Wentz. And it was Sam Darnold. This is according to the Vikings. In that mop-up duty on Christmas Day against the Baltimore Ravens. Remember the game was done basically at halftime?
Oh, yeah.
And he played a good 10 minutes of that game. I want to say it's the most he had played. And Sam Darnold got in there, and he opened the eyes of the Vikings. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Is this the same Sam Darnold? What's going on here? And so they saw something there. And that's when they invited him to camp. So, you know,
didn't open the eyes of Kyle Shanahan.
No, because, you know, listen, you need, for the Vikings, you're in a much different situation.
Sure.
Because you don't have a quarterback. You drafted a young quarterback, and you're going to invite. There's a difference between inviting someone to camp because you see that there might be a glimmer there of some potential, as opposed to someone like that of Kyle Shanahan, who did not want to get rid of Sam Darnold. But it's highly different than replacing your starting quarterback who had an MVP-esque year and inserting Sam Darnold because he did well in mop-up duty against that of the Baltimore Ravens.
But that's the thing. Is like, so we're having this conversation about replacing Brock Purdy maybe, and their resumes are going to look very similar after this year, right? You're going to have 1 to 2 playoff appearances for each player, 1 for Sam, 2 for Purdy. Sam may or may not finish in the top 5 for MVP. I don't see how he doesn't this year because he's been so good. It really just comes down to price tag. Yes. And if it's worth letting Purdy go and not believing he can return to that caliber of player. Like, in this conversation of, well, it comes down to contract value, we can't forget, like, Brock could look the exact same way next year as he looked in 2023 when he almost won the MVP. Like, we can't ignore that Brock could return to form, if you will, when he has Christian McCaffrey healthy, when he has Brandon Ayuk, if he ever comes back next year. Like, I get it. We are praising Sam Darnold and giving him kudos. He also has Justin Jefferson, who is going to have 1,500 yards and 10-plus touchdowns this year and 97 receptions. Brock doesn't have that. He had it last year, and he looked really good. Like, I am one that believes if you give Brock Purdy that number one guy, his leading target getter back, you will see a reversion back to his true form, which was a really, really, really good quarterback in 2023.
But does his arm get any stronger?
No, but does Darnold get any better? Does he not throw picks? Like, does Darnold play good in the playoffs? We have no idea yet.
Yeah, we'll find out. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, let's get into a little Jake Moody and talk about the young kicker for that of the San Francisco 49ers and what to do with this guy. We'll be back right after this.